Well, today I want to talk about Jesus, our peace. The fact that Jesus came to earth and made the sacrifice that he did allows us to have peace with God. And that is what we're celebrating this time of the year. It is not all the other fluff, and we know that, we've heard it so many times, but it's the truth. If we just keep centered up on him and what he's done, man, you can celebrate that all year around and just enjoy this time of year even more for what God has really done through him. So let's turn over to Luke 2. Start with a somewhat familiar passage of Scripture. Luke 2, verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now we've heard that. If you've been around, man, people... we hear this around Christmas time, right? But what are they saying? When the angel says in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You know, people say, "Oh, it's just peace. You know, peace on earth. There's just going to be peace between men." And we're just going to, people that aren't even Christians, talk about peace. You see people with signs all the time. Peace, peace this, peace that. That's not what it's talking about. Because there is no peace without Jesus, number one, even between people. You cannot walk in love. If you've been married any time at all, or even lived in any type of family, brothers, sisters, how many people know this? There's kids. We all have a tendency to get on each other's nerves, right? Do we? And it doesn't matter who you are. If you're in close quarters with another human being, let's say it that way, roommate, anybody ever... been a roommate with somebody they were friends with to begin with, and then what happens? You're going to grow in your relationship. You're going to get past a certain thing. You're either going to grow away from each other, or you're going to get over some hurdles and become even closer, because what? You see people the way you've never seen them before. It happens with everybody. Now, how can we live together with peace? It's through the love of God that's in our hearts. But that's not what this is talking about anyway. And that's one facet of it, of course. But on earth, peace, goodwill, what? Between men? No, toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. From who? Goodwill from God Almighty. Why? Because his Son has come to make a sacrifice for us. And so God, this is the beginning, not the beginning, but on earth. I mean, this was prophesied many years ahead, but this is the culmination of men. God had to get people, we were talking about words, God had to get people to speak the word forth all throughout those years, move men to get them to speak what he wanted to do, and it took all these thousands of years for him to bring the Savior into the earth. Why? Because men have authority on this earth. Why didn't God just come down? Because he gave dominion to men. So he had to work through men and get them to speak the word and get them to prophesy his plan. Why didn't God just send Jesus down? People will say in their ignorance, "Well, why didn't God just do it right away? If God's all powerful." God is all powerful, but he gave dominion to Adam. He gave dominion to men. So he worked through men to get them to speak so that the Savior could come into existence, so all those prophecies could come to be fulfilled. So when here, Jesus has been born, God in the flesh has come to earth. And what is it saying? On earth, peace, goodwill towards men, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of what he did. And what we celebrate is when he came to earth, because of what he did, God is at peace with us. Today, do you realize that he's at peace with the human race? Because of Jesus. Everybody, we're going to read scriptures. Everybody, do you realize he's not out there just looking with a frown on people? Does that mean everybody's saved? No. Because Jesus has died for everybody. You realize everybody has been forgiven. But they're not going to receive it. They're not going to take it. But it's paid for. Jesus died. It's paid for. We're going to read scriptures. God is not mad at the human race anymore. He's not mad at us. Why? Because his wrath was satisfied in Jesus. That's not the way most religion teaches it. That's why when Christmas, we look at what God did through Jesus, the gift that he gave was make it so that we could have life again. He has not gone soft on sin. He has not got, his standards have not lowered. It's the fact that he punished his son what we should have rightfully taken. We should have been. If you have not seen The Passion of the Christ and you're old enough to see it, your parents say it's okay, you should see it. Because the graphic view, and I don't believe when we look at the portrayal of what Jesus went through, I think if anything it's lighter. It is not over the top, it's lighter. It was probably much worse than that. But the beating he took and everything he took, he did that for us. In that movie, when he had gotten beaten for a while and he's on the ground and then he gets up and goes back to take the rest of it, man, if that doesn't pull at your heart for what he did for us. That was supposed to be us. We deserve that. We deserve nothing less. But because he came, God said all his wrath, he forsook his son, put everything on his son so that he could look in you and I and be at peace. He's not looking at you saying, boy, you're just a mess up. Boy, you just messed up today. No, he's looking at us saying, I love you. And he's just in doing it. Why? Because of Jesus. Peace towards men. Or goodwill toward men. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Let's turn over to Acts. This is another scripture before we get going. Acts 10:36. This is what Christmas means. That God took the peace on earth. It's the fact that God's wrath has been satisfied and there's peace toward us. God's not mad at us. Like somebody said, he's not even in a bad mood. So this is Peter speaking when he is at Cornelius' house and he's preaching the gospel to them. God sent him to preach the gospel to these people that were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. The first time then that the disciples realized that Jesus had died for everyone, not just the Jewish people. Verse 36, he's starting to preach. If I were to read, I'll read a couple verses right before. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He's preaching peace. What's the word that they're preaching? Preaching peace through Jesus. Not through what we've done. God's peace toward us does not come because we've just done an awesome job. Man, I had an excellent Tuesday, so today God is at peace with me. Tomorrow, though, man, I messed up, so now God's not at peace. It doesn't vary like that. It does not go up and down like that. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and satisfied God's wrath. And like we said, there's peace on earth. Constant. Because of that baby coming and growing up and taking that punishment, there's peace. There's peace when you have the best day. There's peace when you have the worst day. Because it's not tied to us. Oh, thank God. Thank God when we realize what Jesus, you came. And you took it all. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Not through something else, not through a church, not through a religion, not through a man or somebody to follow on TV, but through Jesus. Preaching peace through Jesus. Thank God. Let's turn over to Ephesians. And it is so good. I've said this before, you say the word peace, just peace. There's just something. Peace. Just to be at peace with Jesus. When you realize Jesus, God Almighty, is at peace with us. Peace. That means when you walk in the room, he's not going, oh gosh, here comes something. No, he's just looking at peace. Peace. Just peace. And think about when you walk in the room, he says, hey, I got some hot cocoa or whatever your drink is waiting for you. Why don't you sit down with me by the fire and just talk? Let's just have a chat. All that's been taken care of. But what of the day I've had, man? I blew it. There's peace. There's peace. I mean, we can always just go in, spend some time with our Daddy God, and just hang out with him because there's peace. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. This is a different picture of peace than the world presents at Christmas. There's a peace on earth. Everybody just get along. It's because of Jesus that we can even do that. Man, when you've been forgiven, and you know what has happened in you and what he carried and he shouldn't have carried it, and you realize what has gone on, and I can forgive you. I can walk in love with you. I can forgive my wife when we have a disagreement. It gives me the strength to say I shouldn't have said stuff like that. I said that wrong. Forgive me. Why? Because he's forgiven me. That's what gives me the strength to act like that. What gives us each of the strength to walk in peace, to walk the way we should. Why? Because he's acted that way towards us. It's not something we drum up, well, I'm going to be a real good person and walk at peace. But that's what people are preaching, or not preaching, but putting forth this time of year. Let's just all get along and be at peace. You can't do that when you're a child of the devil. Put it bluntly. When we're under his control, no, it's only when we know what God has done for us. But what does it say? Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. See, there's a standard that God had, and Jesus fulfilled it, so we could have peace with him. In verse 16, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to those who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. But notice there in verse 15 and 16, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. See, if you go back to the beginning of verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, I have that word. I think that I have that word on your sheet, don't I? That word is not necessarily that familiar to us. It means hostility, by implication, a reason for opposition, hatred. See, God's wrath was toward us. Why? Enmity. Because we've all blown it to one way or another. We have not upheld the perfection that God's justice demands. And so if we're going to be judged in and of ourselves, we don't measure up. We deserve his wrath, period. But Jesus stepped in. That's why that baby came and stepped in, and he took it all. So now there's peace. That enmity has been done away with. God is not mad at us. He's not peace. That's what peace is. That's the real peace, is that he is looking toward us saying, my wrath's been satisfied. I can walk with these people again just as if they'd never sinned because of what my son did. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men because of him. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and to by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. How did peace come? Through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. In the body, how did he do it? In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We're not going to get into that today, but all that means is, if you don't throw it away, you can't lose your salvation like you lose your wallet or your purse. You wake up one day, it's gone. And we're not going to go into that today. But you can turn your back on him. He's not going to force anybody to stay with him. That's all that means. So don't ever, because there's denominations, all I'm saying it, don't ever get, there's denominations say, oh, you better watch out. If you don't do everything perfect, you could lose your salvation. That's not true. Jesus has paid the penalty for sin. So you cannot lose it because of sin. Otherwise, his penalty, it wasn't complete. So don't ever entertain that, oh, you've messed up. You've gone too far. They can't, sin cannot push you away from God. I mean, sin cannot make you lose your salvation, but it can. It'll mess with your mind, and you start pushing yourself away from God. And that's another thing. But I'm just saying, don't ever entertain the thought, oh, that I've blown, I've gone too far. If you're thinking that, you haven't gone too far. If you had gone too far, you wouldn't care. You'd be going to hell, and you'd say, I don't care. You'd tell me I'm going to hell, I'd say, yeah, right, and I know it, and I'm glad about it. You'd be hardened. It's just don't ever, you know, there's scriptures like this, and there's certain denominations that'll tell you, and it puts fear in people. And there's denominations that preach. You commit the wrong type of sin, and you die at that point with that on your heart, you're going to hell. There are denominations that preach that, and people live in fear because of it. Like somebody said, if that's the case, get born again and shoot me now. That's my best chance to get to heaven, because if I do the wrong thing at the wrong time and a car hits me, I'm done. That's not true. That's a lie. Otherwise, Jesus did not do it. Did not sacrifice so that we could go up and down like this. I mean, the Old Testament people had it better than us then, because at least they had their once a year sacrifice and they're good for a year, right? I mean, the way some people say, you're not good for until the next time you mess up. So anyway, that's a side thing. But just don't. That's a lie. But we don't want to mess with sin. That doesn't give you a, sin will drive you away from God eventually. You'll get hardened and you'll start wanting to go away from, we don't want to ever go down that path. But don't think that you can just sin and just all of a sudden, oh, there it goes. I'm going to hell now. That's not the case. So verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Has. He's reconciled us. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. But having made peace through what? The blood of his cross. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. There is peace on earth because of him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God in Christ that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The world. Through Jesus Christ. All right, skip down. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, God through Jesus, if people knew what that baby meant and what later his death, burial, and resurrection meant, it meant that the whole world has been reconciled. Has, past tense, been reconciled through him. They just have to receive it. That's why there's peace. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's see, God himself, through Jesus, has reconciled the world. He's paid the price. And what he's saying here is, I've done it all. And I've given you, who believe, the ministry of telling other people that that's been done. But tell them, there's peace. Tell them, I'm not mad at them. Tell them I've paid it all. Tell them they can come to me and have a relationship with me because of my son, because it's been done. Let's turn over to Romans 5. We'll close with this. Romans 5, 1 and 2. This is not on your sheet, but I'm going to read a few verses before. So if you don't have your Bible open, just listen. It's talking about Abraham in verse 22. It says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be what? Righteousness shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who has raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. See, he was delivered up for what we did. And was raised for our justification or our acquittal. In verse 1 now, where it is on your sheet. Therefore, because that's happened, having been justified or acquitted, having been acquitted by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. Let's read that again. So therefore, because that baby came, because he eventually went to die on the cross, and to be buried and rose again. And he did that because of what we did. And he was beaten because of our offenses, because of our crimes. And he was raised to acquit us, to pay the ransom for us, to call us not guilty. Because of that, therefore, in verse 1, it says, we have been acquitted by faith. And we have peace. That's when we read that account of the story of Jesus' birth. That peace is, this is what it's talking about. Because of what he was going to do. The angels were saying, it starts now. Like I said, it started a long time ago, but on the earth, he's come. He's come to bring peace. He will one day die for all of you, and that's going to bring peace on earth. They were declaring what was going to happen, and this sums it up right here. that because we've been justified by faith, we now, because we now, looking down through time, Paul is saying, because you looked back on Jesus and counted him having suffered for us, and by faith taking that, now we are acquitted. And now we have peace with God through Jesus. Hallelujah. Through him. Not because of what I've done or not done. Through him. That's what we're declaring. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas time. It's because that Son of God came and took what was rightfully my punishment so I can have peace with God. So I can walk into God's living room and just sit down and say, how are you doing? And he doesn't shun me because I'm wicked or because I've done something. He looks at me and says, hey, Jim, come on and sit down. How are you? And he can look at me and do that justly because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.